Well, good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church in a different way than what we normally do, church. But, you know, kind of enjoying this, not being alone, of course, but I'm enjoying being able to get out to so many people at one time and just tell them good morning and hear back from them. And the emails and the texts are just going unbelievably well. Don, our producer, here comes some texts now. Monica is not able to get on, so we're going to give everybody a couple minutes to make sure they punch the right keys. And Don helped me this morning by putting out a link where I just hit the link, and that helps. So we're going to wait a little bit. No rush. The message isn't that long this morning, so I don't think. Every time I say that, it's twice as long as what I anticipate. But we'll give everybody a chance to get on. If you're on, text me, let me know. So fantastic, Brett. Good to hear from you in Santa Monica. Don's out there along with you, right down the coastline with you, and he said it's cold out there today. So stay warm, be safe out there. It looks like Don may have sent out a link or posted a link on the site or something that would help, and you just hit that. My understanding, you can do it several different ways. Make sure you just don't get on the radio site unless you just want audio only. There may be some people out there that don't want to see a chubby guy slinging sweat. So if you just want to listen, that's fine. But you have both those options. My understanding is you hit the little box up in the right-hand corner of the site and then play live or live, the red live button after that, then I ought to pop right up. Several people are letting me know they're on and they're having no problems. So we'll give everybody a chance to hop on. Yay! Here they come. Oh my, here we go. My son's on. I can't wait to hold my little granddaughter again, Curtis. I miss that, and it's just not safe for me to come over to the house right now with all the hospital people that I run into every day. It's just not good. So, wow, the texts are going crazy. I love that. It would be nice that throughout the service, I could find out if you're still awake. Oh, good. Everybody's saying now that they're able to see and hear. That's good. Going to just give you a couple more minutes. Great. I love right in the middle of all these, I get a Long John Silver's text that says, tired of eating in. The way to get through the coronavirus is to come by Long John Silver's. I don't think that's going to solve anything for me. Oh, good. Luann's here. Howdy, Luann. Hope things are going well for you. Besides being all unbelievably stressed right now at this time. Looks like, see, if you get on and look here, all my texts and if people are hopping on and that's looking good. Wonderful. Keep those coming. I'm going to mute those now, but I still want to make sure I say, oh boy, they're just coming like crazy. Somebody asked me a question. Remind me how to watch. Okay, let's see, who is this so I know who I'm dealing with. Okay. The best way that I know, and Don, you feel free to jump in if you want to. The best way that I know is to get on BBS radio.com. And in the far right-hand corner is a little TV box. And in the TV box is a little white triangle. Hit the triangle, and then it'll have a red live button. Then you hit the live button, and we're on. I think there's other ways you can do it. On the far side, there's a little TV guide. It says 10 o'clock, Faith Springs Baptist Live. You can hit that. Then there's an actual link that I think Don may have posted. I'm not for sure. That'll get you on there too. So a lot of different ways. Now, okay, let's go ahead and start. So at this point, Don, you can cut all this off if you want to about the editing when we go, because we send this out around the world afterwards. Let's see. Somebody's wanting to chat with me online. Okay, we're downplay that. Okay. All righty. So good morning. Just welcome to church and Faith Springs Baptist. And here you are in my home. And thank you. I want to let you know that it looks foggier than what it is, but the way the lights are hitting the windows, the fog has finally lifted here in Houston. And I can actually see, I can see the NRG Stadium and the Astrodome. And it's kind of interesting when you're looking that. I don't see one car in the medical center. I don't know about you, but that's kind of scary. Not one car yet driving. Oh, there's one. Okay, there's still life out there, so there's one car out there going on. But things are kind of different in this world, and I know it is different in your world too. But God is still good in the middle of all this. And I just want to kind of let you know, some announcements and let you know what's happening this week. It's going to be kind of exciting. And I've talked to the Douglas and Don, and they are the owners of the radio station and TV station. So out in California, and we're going to let you know what we're going to do. Friday night, Good Friday, this coming Friday night, and that will be April 10th at 8 p.m. Central Time. I wanted that. So this will all be dark. We're going to have our candlelight service right here. And yes, I've had people ask me already when I sent this out in an email, are we going to have communion? I'm going to have communion. I'm going to lead you through communion. If you want to do that with your family, all you need to do is get some kind of cracker or bread, some kind of juice. And you can do that at a gas station. I think you can get a grape juice there or whatever, so you don't have to go out into the grocery store world if you don't want to. But if you want to participate with me online Friday night with our Good Friday service, I'm going to be bringing the piano all the way up, and we're going to have a little mini concert Friday night. I can't go through Good Friday without singing some songs. I hope I don't. I was telling Don before, I hope I don't get people on my floor that come and beat on the wall and say, hey, shut up in there. But we're going to be singing to you, leading you communion, and then a brief meditation or devotion that I would love to have with you on Good Friday. And I'm just not in favor of canceling things just because there's a virus running around out there. We can do it this way, and in a way we can still be together. You can still participate. And a lot of the people that are homebound that have access to computers or radio are participating now that they never had a chance. So there's a blessing in this too. So feel free to join me Friday night, 8 p.m. Central Time. That's our time, Houston time, Pearland time. 8 p.m. we'll be here for an hour or so, maybe not that long, but that'll be Friday night. And then next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, we want to invite you all. I'll be right here 10 o'clock a.m. And I believe there's Sunday school classes that are happening prior to our Sunday services online, and it's live. If you're interested in that, reach out to Philip and Monica Plummer or Philip and Becky Hickman. They're the teachers that are doing those Sunday school classes, and feel free to jump online and call them and ask them how to get online for those Sunday school classes. So this is kind of neat. That'll be Good Friday and Easter Sunday of this coming week. Don't miss that. 8 o'clock Friday night, and I'll send out another email. And maybe what I'll do with the email is what Don sent me with the little link. I'll just put that link, if it's the same link, in those emails. So all you have to do is find the email, hit the link, boom, it comes straight up live on your computer. That may be the best way to do it, so you don't all have difficulty getting on. But it looks like we have lots of people on right now with my text just going crazy. So I got it on mute. That's good. Also want to let you know that if there's a need out there, anybody's hurting, anybody has a need of something, we have our Faith Springs Cares and Faith Springs Connects team working to get those lists all up and running. And we're going to be sending those out and to everybody, so that you are be getting phone calls. And if you have a need of anything that you want or need in the community and you can't get out, let somebody know, and we will get back with you and try to meet that need as fast as we can as a church. So we want to reach out and love you that way. We also want, you know, there's a few things in life that you just can't live without, and zebra cakes is one of those things. I just want to let you know. And I haven't had breakfast this morning, so if it's all right. Anybody else like these, Little Debbie zebra cakes? I don't even want to know what the calorie intake of these are. Well, it's only 330 calories, but usually when you open it, you end up eating the whole box, but that's beside the point. Anyway, I'm going to open up the zebra cake. You notice in these zebra cakes, there's two. I'm only going to take a bite of one, but in celebration of two people's birthday this morning, I want to say happy birthday today to Gene Pritchard. Happy birthday, Gene. Hope you have an awesome day. May God bless you and continue to give you so many more birthdays ahead. And the work in the ministry that you do in our church has just been phenomenal over the years. And what you're still doing is just phenomenal. And I just appreciate you and God bless you. And then also, wait, I have to take another mic. Also, happy birthday to Amber Mann, 31 years old today. Amber, happy birthday. May you and Carl and the kids just have a wonderful time. Enjoy the day. I know that it's hard not to have a nice, romantic birthday out. And, well, of course, wait, you're married, you have kids. Maybe you're not able to do that romantic stuff anymore out in the restaurants. But anyway, you can't do it now anyway. But I just want you to know happy birthday and God bless you. And we love you. We miss you. I wish I could just hug both of you right now and just tell you how much I care about you. But happy birthday to Gene and Amber this morning. It is today. Today's our actual birthdays. Okay. Now that I got zebra cakes in my throat. Don't forget, starting tonight on Breaking the Silence Radio right here on this station. You don't do it on Zoom because we're going to go on the radio side on station one. But tonight at 8 o'clock Central Time, we have a wonderful 6 weeks. Somebody else is telling me it's Jenna Hunt's 12th birthday. So Jenna, happy birthday to Jenna Hunt's 12th birthday. And I got that just right here. So happy birthday to you too. Wait. Give me another excuse to have another bite. Hey. This is breakfast, okay? So happy birthday, Jenna. I want to say hi to all the kids that are watching too while we're doing this before I go back to Breaking the Silence. Because I think Connie and Mike O'Day are all up at the river at their house and at their second house up there in the river house. And they are from what she said, the whole entire family gathers around the TV screen or the computer screen, and they watch the worship service, all the kids. And I can't tell you how much that makes me smile to think that there's children watching this broadcast and me talk. And I miss those kids so much. Enjoy the time. Jenna, Amber, and Jean, all enjoy your birthdays too. Just appreciate you. Okay. Now, what was I talking about? Oh, before we get to the message, and you want to get your Bibles out because I want you to see it in your Bible. So get your Bibles and find the book of John. Okay, so while I'm rambling on, find the book of John and you'll be fine. Don't trust me on the word. Get into it and make sure you open it up in your own, because there may be some stuff you want to write down in the side margins this morning. Tonight at 8 o'clock, breaking the silence, we have a six-week, now listen to this, six-week emphasis on a program that we're calling Warriors of Hope. And Joel and Darty Hendershot from Ohio are doing, writing a new book called Warriors of Hope. And they have asked to do a chapter on me. And the book is made up of different chapters of people that have made it through tough times and how they made it and kind of their story in a chapter format. The next 6 weeks, we're going to take some of those people that he and Joe and Darty have in their book, and we're having a Warriors of Hope series on Breaking the Silence, a radio program. And tonight, Christian Moore is going to be there. He wrote, and I read the book yesterday, unbelievable book, 300 some pages, but called The Resilience Breakthrough. Fantastic book. Really, really gave me a different outlook on things. But Christian Moore is going to be, he's from Utah. He'll be on the radio show tonight. I have special co-hosts for the next 6 weeks. Joe and Darty will be helping me co-host. Next week, we have Lieutenant Colonel Consuelo Hickenbush. And Consuelo is retired Lieutenant Colonel from the U.S. Army. And she is the highest ranking Latino officer ever in the United States Army. And she has an unbelievable story. That'll be next week. The following week, we have Roy Juarez from San Antonio that wrote a book called Homeless by Choice. He was looking for a meal one day, walked into a hotel conference center, saw a buffet set up, went up and grabbed a plate and started helping himself to the food because he was starving. He was homeless as a young man. Come to find out it was a women's conference, so he stood out like a sore thumb. The head of the women's conference was Consuelo. She and he met, talked, and it changed his life. And that's going to be in 3 weeks. And then we have some just, I can't remember. Don't expect me to remember all the others. Judge Teske from Georgia, one of the most impressive judges with juvenile court, is going to be on the following week. And it just keeps going, and it's just wonderful. And then on May 10th, Sunday night, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., we will not only have the radio show, but we'll have a two-hour TV broadcast. And we're all going to be on TV at the same time, and we'll be talking, and I'll be interviewing each of them. And it's just going to be an awesome time to get everybody together and find some wonderful ways to get through problems, to get through issues. You know, as we get into God's Word this morning, you know, I have a feeling that the next week or two, tighten your seatbelts. I have a feeling the next week, the following week, you're going to see the numbers, instead of flatline, you're going to see the numbers escalate to a volume that may alarm us in this virus world, this COVID-19 world. And the numbers that are going to be rising are going to be the death numbers. Well, plus the cases, but I think those death numbers are starting to multiply greatly. I'm hoping Houston doesn't become an epicenter of what New York is. But rumors is having it that, you know, it's becoming pretty rampant around here. There's some numbers that I'm hearing periodically throughout the week. And then when I watch TV, it's not the same numbers. And the numbers that I'm hearing is a lot higher. I don't know if they've been reported yet or how they're doing that, but I just have a feeling the next couple of weeks is going to be paramount. And I'm in the same mode as you are. Wouldn't it be awesome to just be on the other side of this? When can we experience freedom? And I think it'd be one of those times that we'll be able to tell our grandkids and our great-grandkids, you remember what happened back in 2020, let me tell you. And you'll be telling stories about this experience that we had as a nation, as a family, as a church. This will be probably one of the first times ever that we will ever have Easter Sunday with an empty church building. But let me tell you, let me have that empty church remind you that the tomb is also empty. The power isn't in the tomb. The power isn't in the building that we meet in. The power is in the fact that the emptiness resembles and reflects life. And that's what we're hanging on to. That's what the biggest excitement in to me, that just because the world keeps us out of meeting, now we're not just in one church, in one building, we are out amongst everybody, and it symbolizes that there's life. But I want to let you know, as we enter into this Palm Sunday, and the welcome to Palm Sunday, that we were looking for freedom. Freedom from all those things. And those people back in those days were going through so much stuff, so much strife in their lives. Then they're saying, we just want to find the king. We want to find the Messiah, the guy that's going to come out and give us freedom in what they were involved in right then during those times, in biblical times. So that Old Testament, New Testament, and all those years in between of silence and of times it was really getting rough and really getting demented and dark, just like maybe you think it's going on now. But then all of a sudden, a man rode in on a donkey. A man rode in on a donkey, and people started worshiping him, praising him. They heard the stories. They read the stories in the Chronicle on it. They saw the news broadcast on MSNBC and Fox Network. They said, wait, is this the Jesus? Is this the one that's going to save us? And then he enters in, and the palms come out, and they worship him. There's the hope for the freedom from the darkness. That's it. That's what Easter is all about next week. That freedom, that act of him giving his life for us to give us the freedom from the weight of the world and the sins that we have been involved in and committed ourselves. And we've all, it involves everybody that's listening. We all deserve damnation. But we were looking for that freedom. Now, in this week, I want you to get this. In the Gospel of John, look that up. The Gospel of John mentions in a particular section that Jesus, somewhere in the week, said a prayer, an important prayer. Now, you can find out in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, where they talk about the Lord's Prayer, when the disciples say, hey Jesus, how do you pray? What's the best way to pray? How do I do it? Do I get on my knees? Do I do it before meals? Do I have 3 points in a poem before I say amen? How do we do that? We don't understand. And he gave them that prayer. But in reality, The prayer that ought to be called the Lord's Prayer is this one that is found in John chapter 17. And I want you to turn there. John 17. And I believe it starts off with verse 1. And we're not going to read the entire prayer, but I'm going to get you to a section. I want to let you know, as you read this prayer, you're going to see, and you have, if you have one of those Bibles that has a little, that tells you what the verses are underneath, it'll go like this. Verse 1, all the way through about verse 5, Jesus prays for himself. Then verse 6, all the way through 18 or 19, Jesus prays for his disciples. And then verse 19, 20, all the way through, let me turn the page here, to the end of the chapter, Jesus is praying for the believers. I want you to see a couple things. In this prayer, all these verses, we see a couple things about Jesus that I really am excited about. And one of those things is that we get to see his heart. His heart. You see really how important we are to him. Through the middle of what we're going through the middle of whatever you're dealing with in your own life, I want you to know that Jesus' heart is for you. And then another thing we get to find out in this prayer is that Jesus is hope for us. And you're going to see this come to life when we talk about these points. Jump down with me. If you're there, say, oh, yeah. Chapter 17, verse 20, it goes like this. Chapter 17 of John, verse 20. I am praying not only for these disciples right here, but for also for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. Right there. Right there in that scripture, Jesus is saying this prayer is for Greg and everybody listening and those people that aren't even listening. It's for you because it says right there, I'm praying not only for the disciples that's with me, Jesus is talking here, but also for all who will ever believe in me. That's for you. So Jesus is literally praying for you right now through this crisis, through your troubles, through your trials, through your divorce, through your bankruptcy, through your relationship problems, through you getting a pink slip at the office, whatever it is, for your health problems. Jesus is praying for you, okay? In Romans 8:34, keep there in John, because I'll read this one to you. In Romans 8:34, it says, Christ died and was raised to life, and now he is at the right hand, right side, speaking to him for us. This is the point in Jesus' ministry where he moves from being here in human form to start moving into his new ministry that's going to be the advocacy in heaven when he's sitting next to his Father. So I want you to see this. It's so exciting. It's because Jesus is literally sitting next to his Father right now and saying, hey, what about here? I'm praying for this person. I'm thinking about that. He's advocating for us. He's there pushing and helping and being there and speaking on our behalf to his Father. What an awesome Savior we have. And he deserves that right because of what we're celebrating this week. Not only for stepping out of heaven, being born in a manger that we celebrated so wonderfully and lived out in our wild way in the live nativity, but also those 3 years of ministry that he was with his disciples and the lessons that he taught and laid down as a foundation in God's word. But then as he gets on the donkey and he knows this is his last week of life, He goes ahead and hops on and rides through, being worshiped and praised by the very people that are going to be cursing him, mocking him, making fun of him in just a few days. And then to go through all the pain and suffering that we're going to talk about Friday night. And then the death on the cross. And the celebration of what we're going to do on Sunday, with next Sunday being Easter and the empty grave and the victory. He has earned the right to be next to his Father, speaking on our behalf. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ is speaking for us? Absolutely. Now, there's a few things I want you to see in this prayer. So just hang with me. In verse 15, so we're going to kind of go backwards. We're going to jump around. John 17, 15. The one thing that Jesus prays for us is this. John 17, 15. I'm not asking you to take them out of this world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Right there, Jesus is praying for your protection. God, protect them. God, put a shield around them. Keep them safe. Now, it's so hard to try to relate what happens in this world and then try to place it in Scripture or apply Scripture to what happens in this world. But I always try to do that. God is hearing from Jesus right now. Lord, protect the world. Protect them from this stuff. There's reasons things happen, and yeah, there's those viruses that's going to hurt and get people sick, and some are going to die from this. But he's still advocating to protect them. Take care of them. Protection doesn't mean that you get a perfect life. Protection doesn't mean that you're never going to have any troubles. It just means that you're going to have God to give you strength to endure it. Protection doesn't keep you from the problems. Protection doesn't keep you from the trials and the temptations and the diseases and the turmoil that life has. But the protection that he's praying for us is, hey, Father, give them strength through it. Through it. Don't bow your head and hang your head and go, oh no, another day, and turn on CNN and just get so discouraged. No, don't do that. Don't focus on the negative. Focus on who is there that has the power that'll give us the strength. And I honestly believe, as surely as I'm sitting here in my home, I honestly believe that we're going to come out of here stronger. We're going to come out of here closer. We're going to come out of here better. We're going to come out of here bigger. We're going to come out of here more of an understanding of what church is all about. When we just whistle Dixie and say, hey, how are you, in the parking lot, and everything's just grand, and the sun is shining and everything's great, sometimes we overlook the power of God because we're doing pretty darn good on our own. But when everything is saying, you got the President of the United States saying, stay in home, stay in the house, and the businesses and the restaurants and your work saying, you're not allowed in here, then what do you do? Then how do you get through it? God has that strength for us. And in that, you have to dig deep. So don't curse this. Job was that perfect example, probably, of how trials should bring us closer to God, not farther. And you ought to read that story sometime if you haven't. But Jesus is praying for our protection. Okay. The next one is that in the middle of all this, in the middle of our trials and middle of our troubles, in the middle of our things that we don't understand, May God show you his strength, his presence, and get you through it. The second one is going to be John 17. Also, Jesus prays for, listen to this. It's in verse 21. John 17, 21 goes like this. My prayer for all of them is that they will be of one heart and mind, just as you and I are, Father. What an awesome prayer. So as Jesus isn't only praying for protection for his people, but he's praying for unity. Unity for his people. Think about this. We get so bent out of shape. We get so disgruntled about stuff. We get so worried about whether there's hazelnut creamer or French vanilla creamer for the coffee on Sunday mornings. But when you realize you can't even walk into the building now because it's closed, what's really important? What's really the important things in life? And it's unity. It's us being together. It's us, not in physical form, but in heart. And in that, it brings us to reality of the important and most significant things in our lives. And that's what it's all about. It's about us and love and caring for each other and being there for each other. John 13, a couple of chapters back, John 13, 35 goes like this. This is how you're going to recognize those folks walking the streets, those that are my disciples. And Jesus puts it clearly. When they see the love that you have for each other. The love. And Jesus is praying this prayer. Father, don't only protect them, but give them a relationship that is so close in unity that it resembles yours and mine. That's powerful. And we have that. We have that. Faith Springs Baptist Church has that unity, has that love, has that power. So reality, we've been talking to the constructors this week. They're still building and they're still doing and they're finishing up and it's looking good and things are going well. They're trying to get done so they can get out of there. I would like for them to get done and get out of there. But anyway, does it really matter if the walls are eggshell or white or gray or purple? No. It matters what's going to happen inside of those walls. That's what it's all about. Because when you end up being in a home, like so many of you are, by yourself, you're in a home by yourself. Does it matter if those walls are white? Does it matter if I have wood floors in the penthouse or not? Does it matter if the pillar's white in the middle of the house when you're by yourself? No, all that matters is the love that we have. And Jesus is praying for that for us. And he said this prayer in that final week, Lord, give them protection and give them unity. Another verse I wanted you to write down on this one. It was Romans 15, 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. And in that verse, Romans 15, 5, those two words, endurance and encouragement. May we get that. And you get that through Jesus Christ. You get that, keep on keeping on from Jesus. You get that from him. You get that encouragement from each other. The love that we share with each other. I can't wait to get back in the building. But not to have a donut. Not to fix the coffee. Not to unlock the doors and set the chairs up. But to watch each and every one of you walk through the door so we can love on each other. I can't wait until we can shake hands and hug. We need that. But just to be with each other is so important right now. And Jesus is praying that prayer in his final week for us. What an awesome God that we have. Number three. And I got five, so hang with me. I mean, what time is it? Oh, I'm doing it. John 17:13 goes like this. Let me get ready. It's not fair. You guys get to eat and drink all the way through this at home. Some of you are in your pajamas, so. Number three goes like this. Yes, I know. Everybody's telling me, yes, they're in their pajamas. Okay, thank you. I love that. Okay. John 17:13 goes like this. I'm coming to you now, but I pray these things while I'm still in this world, so that these followers can have all of my joy in them. All of my joy in them. So to be clear about this verse, I don't want to advocate that you cross out words in the Bible, so don't get on Facebook and start saying, oh, he told us to cross out. But instead of just joy, that verse could be this way. Well, it says it that way. Circle my joy. It's not just joy in things. It's not just joy in a job. It's his joy. And some people have a funny picture of what Jesus Christ really was. I'm not for sure that he was the type of person to just walk through town and bless you. Bless you, my son. Bless you. Bless you. You shouldn't be doing that. Get off that. No, stop. I'm not for sure it was going to be that way. I'm not for sure he meant to be that way. That wasn't the way he was. I think there was a joy inside of him that just flowed. It just flooded out of him. It was a fountain from him. And he's praying right now for us to have his joy. Now, there's another verse I want to get to. John 16, 20-21. Honest statement. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Jesus is teaching us the difference about how joy happens in our life. Okay? He's teaching us about joy. John 16 again, 20. Honest statement. He says, honest statement. You will grieve, but your grief will turn into joy. Through sometimes hard times, through pain, you will find joy deeper than what you ever would have had if you never experienced the grief to begin with. I know that's hard for us to understand, but it's there. Then he gives us this picture. And believe you me, I don't know what this is all about. I'm a man. But for you women, and don't text me on this, he gives us this picture. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when the baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child has been born into this world. Jesus is saying, this is the way it works. If you want a world that has no pain, no grief, no sorrow, no problems, it's not possible. But Jesus says, I'll take that pain, the grief, the sorrow, and through me will turn it into joy. And he says that, and he's praying right there, Lord, Father, let them have my joy. Now, Jesus was telling them, being with them, sharing with them that day's coming. It's only a few days left. They're going to take me away and I'm going to die. And I don't think they had a, I don't think they could fathom what he was talking about. That they're going to watch him die. But in a few days, I'm going to raise, I'm going to get out, I'm going to come back to life out of that tomb. That's powerful. That's powerful. Let's keep going because we're about out of time. The next one is Jesus in verse 17 of chapter 17. He's saying this prayer, God, Father, make them pure. Make them holy. By teaching them your words of truth. God is praying for your purity. I'm glad he is. In this impure world that we live in, I'm glad that Jesus is praying for our purity. I'm glad that Jesus is cheering us on. Stay faithful, stay faithful, stay pure. Come on, Greg, you can do this. I'll never give you a temptation that you can't overcome. Just turn and walk away. Get away from it. And there's so many times I didn't. There's so many times I failed. We all have. But Jesus is sitting right there and saying, make them pure and holy by teaching them the words of truth. The answer of purity and holiness is found in the Word. In God's word, it gives us the strength to keep our minds on God. And that's what it's all about. It doesn't get any better than that. None of us are going to be perfect in this world. And Jesus knows that. But Jesus just says, help them keep their mind focused on me. Now, homework, write this down. This Easter week, this Passion Week, Monday, I want you to read John chapter 14, just a chapter. And Monica and Philip, I hope this doesn't mess up your reading of the Bible. We can surely add an extra chapter in the reading of during a special week. But Monday, read chapter 14. Tuesday, read John chapter 15. Wednesday, read John chapter 16. Thursday, 17. Friday 18, before you tune in to the Good Friday service. Saturday 19, Sunday chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, before you come in to the Easter service and tune in when we celebrate Easter like we've never celebrated before, literally online and with the world. And you will have read the entire Easter story. So tomorrow, 14, then 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. That'll take you all the way through the week of Sunday. Okay? Titus. In chapter 1, verse 15, goes like this. Titus says, a person who is pure in heart sees goodness and purity in everything. But a person whose own heart is evil and untrusting finds evil in everything. For his dirty mind and rebellious heart colors all he sees and all he hears. Really don't like that verse because it tells us that I can't blame the world for my impure thoughts. It doesn't come from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. That means there's a problem with me. How do you focus on purity and have pure thoughts in the middle of an ugly circumstance? There's not a person you're going to meet this week, no matter how ugly they are, or hateful or evil, it's not a person you'll meet that's not loved by God and created by God. All of that is there for them. They can have that. And you just need to focus on that person's life, and that person is special. And we need to try to keep that stuff pure in us. There's coming a day where there's no more pain, no more heartache, no more evil. But right now, it's rampant. And last one, I'm done. Oh, we're going to make it. Going to make it. Y'all still with me? John chapter 17, verse 18. Here we go. Goes like this. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. That means there's something he wants us to do. That means there's a reason for our existence in the world today. In the same way that you gave me a mission, this is Jesus talking, Jesus praying, Father, in the same way you gave me a mission in this world, give them one too. I'm not for sure I want that mission. You with me? I don't want to go through what Jesus went through. Hey, please. Not even close. But I think that the impact of the verse is saying, you had a purpose for me, Father. Show them, show each of them that there's a purpose for them as well. And let them live the rest of their life with that purpose in mind. And in that purpose, give me the glory and you the glory through it. So during the bad times, the pain, the sorrows, the heartaches, the viruses, or whatever, through that, give me the glory, remember your purpose, and continue to let that go up and become the person they want to be. Strengthen them. Give them the hope. Give them the joy. Give them the endurance. Just keep on keeping on, because they have a purpose in this world. As long as you're breathing, there's a reason for you to be here. And it's not for you to moan and groan. It's not for you to look at everybody else in the world and judge them. Congratulations, you're not nominated for that position. None of us are. It's for you to find your purpose. And all those kids that are listening on the O'Day computer right now, lean in. Kids, God's got something in mind for you. Anna and Pat's girls, lean in. God's got a mission for you. God's got a purpose for you. If Michael's kids are on here, God's got a purpose for you, precious two children. Now, all of us older folk, lean in. God still has a purpose for you. It's to tell people about him. It's to show them the love that we have for each other and him. How are you doing with that? This is a perfect time to get on the phone, to get on your emails, to get on Twitter, to get on Facebook, or whatever it is you use to communicate. And let people know that through the middle of this storm, God's in control. God has the power. God is asking for protection for you. God wants you to have the joy. He wants you to have the purity. He has a mission for you. And let people know that it is there for them also. Matthew 27, as we close this out, hang with me. The Bible tells us about what Jesus went through before he went to the cross. Matthew 27:27 goes like this. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him, and they stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, and they twisted together a crown of thorns, and they set that crown of thorns on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, and they knelt in front of him, and they mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, is what they said. They spit on him. They took the staff and struck him with it over and over. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his clothes back on him, and they led him away to crucify him. Why did Jesus let that happen? He could have stopped it at any moment. He was God in the flesh. Why? Why? Because he loves you. Because he cares for you. That was the ultimate love. This week, as we go in from this Palm Sunday and end in Easter next Sunday, as surely as I am sitting here in Houston, Texas, God loves you. And that's why he did it. And because of that, I want to close with two questions for you. As we get ready to celebrate Easter, as we get ready to go into that Easter week, are you ready to celebrate? Have you accepted the love and the gift of God's love in your life? How do you do that? It's easy. By telling him. It's a relationship. You talk to him. You say, Jesus, I understand now. I thank you that you rode in on that donkey, that you went through all this pain and suffering, and that you died on the cross for me. That's why you came. I understand now that I'm in need of forgiveness and that I'm a sinner and I won't be able to make it on my own. I understand now that I need a Savior. If you haven't accepted that gift, do it right now and say, Lord, I believe in you. Forgive me my sins. Come into my heart and make me one of yours. I would love to have that text from hundreds, dozens, thousands, whatever people, of one that would say, I just accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, and I will be celebrating Easter. Because if you don't have Jesus in your heart, in your life, there is no celebration. It's just a Hallmark holiday. And the second question, who are you sharing that gift with? Who are you sharing that gift with? It's easy now. It's so much easier. We're not even allowed to go and knock on doors right now and invade people's personal space. We're not even allowed to hardly stand around them because of social distancing. But right now, get online, get on email, Twitter, whatever, and say, I want you to join me online Friday night for something special at 8:00. And tell them how to do it. And I want to join with you personally online next Sunday at 10:00 to be with us in church so we can find out about the death and the burial and take communion together on Friday night. And then celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. Thank you so much for being here. I wish I could reach through this screen and just grab you and hug you, but I want to let you know I love you. God is alive and well, and Jesus himself has prayed for you. And now I want to confirm that prayer in you by praying for you as well. Dear Lord, we just come to you right now. And I thank you for the day. I thank you for the technology of what Don and Doug is able to do out there in California in their wonderful station to be able to get this out across the airwaves. And how that works, Lord, I don't know. But I know I enjoy the benefits. Even though I don't understand how it works, I'm enjoying the benefits. Lord, in the same weird kind of way, or I don't understand why you rode in on the donkey to give your life for me. I don't understand all of that, but I want to enjoy the benefits. And I thank you for living, dying, rising on the third day for me and for everybody in this world. Thank you. May we have an awesome week. Bless us, protect us, keep us safe in everything that we do. And may it all be to glorify your awesome name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Thank you. I'll see you Friday night, 8 o'clock. God bless. Have an awesome day.
You too. Thank you.